B-Pod Studios.
Gargano and Mertitus Middays. It's time now for the Gargano and Mertitus Midday Show with Anthony Gargano and Jason Mertitus. It starts now.
Oh, that's a buzzkill.
Still? You look worse today than you did yesterday.
I'll be honest with you, I feel worse today than I feel yesterday.
Really?
Like, yeah, I do. I feel...
Realization?
I feel... It's funny, I was talking to the mailman outside for a bit. Our mailman here.
Mm-hmm.
He's a nice guy. He's like, what's the matter? I go... He's like, still? I'm like, just like you did. I go, yeah.
Worse almost today.
I said I got the crepe. I don't know what that is, but I guess back in the day... They would put the crepe in the door, like the black curtains in the door.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
do not disturb
when
me.
When somebody died.
Yeah. Sign of mourning.
And I feel that way. I think it's going to take me a while.
Yeah, you got a funk about you. You look like you got the funk.
I'm about to enter a funk period.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Brett's going to speak, and we'll have him momentarily.
Yeah, and listen. We told you yesterday he's coming back.
Yep. You said it yesterday. The man is coming back to coach this team again.
I'm happy. Listen, status quo is what I wanted, what I wish for. I want everybody back. I want to go at it again. I got supreme faith in this team, so let's go. However, that doesn't start till October.
Yeah, you got a while, man.
Well, I'm going to watch Golden State tonight, Portland. I don't know. I got to tell you, and we have to get into this. But I already sense like a feeling of great loss in my sports, like addiction.
Yeah, well, you have a hole in your heart today.
I do,
because you wanted to be kicking out. Here's Brett Brown.
All right, here we go.
Gargano and Mertitus Middays.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
.97.5 The Fanatic.
Brett right here.
Hello, Marcus.
Good morning. Josh Harris told us that your job was never in peril and that you knew that. Is that accurate? And after last night and this morning, are you relieved?
First, it is accurate. Going into the Toronto series, you know, and he and I had multiple conversations. You know, as it plays out, you're never sure which way it's going to go. And in regards to, you know, is it a relief? It's deeper than that, given the history that I've had here. It's something that we're proud of, the things that we've done, and it's deeper than a relief.
Brett, a lot of free agents coming. I'm working on something on J.J. Redick. Could you just, obviously you'd probably want to have him back. Could you just tell what he's brought to the team and in the future what you'd like to see with him here?
I mean, he's first all class. His ability to stretch the floor, we all get. And there is a professionalism that he brings to the table that we all understand. And I think in general, you know, when you talk about the team, it's my wish that we could have as many of these guys back as we can.
Brett, Joel, in his exit interview with us, implied that he thought that he'd been used too much in too many games at certain times during the season. Do you agree with that? And how much of him being ready for the playoffs and fit for the playoffs is on him taking better care of himself when he is healthy during the season and coming into the season in better shape and better habits?
I think it's a partnership for sure. With Joel's age and his recent playoff experience, he, and really led by him, and we for sure understand that his health dictates a significant amount of our success. And when you sort of throw the word health out, you know, it comes with lifestyle, it comes with all the things behind that. And my conversation with Joel yesterday, he understands the responsibility, the pieces that need to be put in place around him to help him, especially over summer months that we've all learned have a chance to really set the stage for a complete NBA season, will be in place. I have faith and belief in Joel Embiid and Elton Brand and the strength people around him that we will create an atmosphere and an infrastructure that will deliver him to September in the best shape that he has been in since he's been a Philadelphia 76er.
Brett, just to make it clear, I mean, Josh said that you were coming back and he pretty much let you know is the impression I got. But it doesn't sound like you, because you said you never know what would happen. So after game five, were you reassured or were you told?
Just so that we're clear, because
I want to be clear.
Yeah, no, and I want to be clear back.
Okay.
How do I say it? Where do we begin? My discussions with Josh Harris, since I've been employed, have been very direct in relation to, am I going to be the coach or am I not? Those discussions were had clearly, like I'm talking to you now, for a long time. The Toronto series, if that's what you're asking, yes. And I'm also, I'm the son of a coach. You know, I'm the fifth longest tenured coach in the NBA. Coaching doesn't happen for always. It doesn't always happen forever, whether it's my terms or somebody else's. And I'm proud of what we've done here. I love working for Josh Harris and David Blitzer. I'm thrilled to have Elton Brand as one of my however many general managers I've had, and I was one for 3 months. And so when you look back and you look at back-to-back 50-win seasons, we're playing in the semifinals and the ball hangs on the rim what seemed like a month. And we got two NBA All-Stars. When I put sort of my rearview mirror hat on, and I remember, like you do, going to PCOM. We were in PCOM. Think about that, Howard. We were in PCOM. And I had one court. I wouldn't even go down to my players' locker room. I was ashamed. I didn't want to go down there. And now we've arrived at a place that we have a chance for annual success. We have a chance to annually knock out 50-win seasons and truly contest for a championship. I can't look at players or you more sincerely and say that. This is a destination. It wasn't when I came here. In fact, it wasn't even close. What it did have was an amazing city. And it had an amazing basketball-rich history, from colleges to the Philadelphia 76ers. And so as we go through this question, which you know is going to come up, I'm proud of where we were and where we are. I understand the lay of the land as a head coach in the NBA just fine. And I sleep fine. And I love coaching my players. We have a culture that they want to be here. They want to play here. To recruit free agents, to hold on to people. I like the fact that I can go get coaches and feel confident and look at them and tell them, I'll do whatever I can to help you advance, too. And so here we are, and there we were. And yes, Josh and I speak freely. And yes, I was completely aware of how he saw my role in future as the playoffs unfold.
So he told you would be back.
Howard, what language do I have to say? Yes.
Okay, I just want to,
yes.
All right. Yesterday or last night at the meeting, what was discussed on what you need to do as a coach with your team to move forward, if anything?
I mean, last night's meeting, it seems, I'm kind of a social misfit most times. Sort of I am, and I'm proud of that.
you know, it wasn't like this delineated dramatic. It's stuff. I went through 17 exit interviews yesterday. We lose as we lost. We get in from Toronto at, you know, 2 in the morning. I'm here at 10, and every 20 minutes a player comes through my door. And we talk about family and thank yous and a little bit about basketball. And then I get in a car service and go to Manhattan. And we have dinner with Elton and Josh and so on. And it's just part of the day where you have exit interviews and tighten things up. To get into specifics of, like, here we are and, like, this is what we have to do to improve as a coach or a program or a GM or whatever. We talk surface stuff. The granular stuff is coming. It was more holistic and really, you know, talking about certainly the design of the team and things. But to be specific about your question, it really didn't come up much.
Are you okay with your can I just follow up? Are you okay with your point guard not shooting a 15-footer?
I wished he would. Like, if I'm sitting in front of you and he's 26, I think the conversation would probably be a little bit more disingenuous. But it's part of, as we say, and it's going to be this discussion, I think, probably for a few years, where none of you, led by you, are going to, you know, be happy if he's not cranking up, you know, 10, 15 footers a game. But, you know, I hear you. I understand the question, and it's a fair one. And Ben knows this, too. But I stand by that this isn't going to be the thing that defines him immediately. It will at some point, for sure. And I feel like this year, as it played out with Jimmy and having the ball and us putting in him in different floor spots, he's shown the versatility that we should all be thrilled with at age 22 and 6'10", that I can use him in also different areas.
What's up, Bert?
What's up, Keith?
You know, you said that you knew that you were going to be the coach, you were going to be retained. Do you wish they would have made that public beforehand? Because right. I'm saying is, you guys are in the conference semifinals. The night before the game, the day before the game, a report comes out that you're going to lose your job. And you had players yesterday, after the fact, basically saying, this is our coach. Now, the thing is, that's a huge distraction. If that could have been avoided, if they did tell you that you were going to be retained.
Right, I understand the question. And I answer it like this. If we responded, this is my sixth year in Philadelphia. I have been fired every one of these years. It's true. It's Philadelphia. Every single one of these years, somebody, you know, has me not coming back. And it will happen again next year, early. And so, like, this is just the way it works in my industry, in this city. And to have the club feel the need to repetitively deal with this or other things, because it happens on many other issues other than Brett Brown, I'm fine with it. And we move on. And it's incredible how the world we live in works, but that's the way it goes. And my simple answer is, I'm just fine with them not responding to the noise that surfaced.
Even though some of your players didn't know if you were coming or going in the magnitude of that game?
But maybe you could flip it around and say they're going to go play their tail off because they care about my future. Maybe we could say that. And I will say this about my players. I loved coaching this team. They played hard, and amazingly, they played together. In our third iteration of Philadelphia 76ers, we're trying to, like, do the best we could, utilizing Jimmy. Here comes Tobias. Ben, you're off the ball. Figuring it all out and trying to keep the boys in the boat. That is something that we're proud of. You don't just click your heels and build chemistry. And so the players responding like you say they did, I wouldn't connect too many dots like it was an incredible distraction. Because if we take another position, you could say maybe it was a motivating factor. I don't know.
Hey, Brett. I guess whether over here to your left. I guess whether someone like TJ, who's been here for a long time, or even someone like Jimmy yesterday or Greg Monroe, who just came in here, they spoke about the culture a lot and how you and the coaching staff treated them. What has been your guiding philosophy for dealing with guys, regardless of how long they've been here, when they come in, and the type of experience you hope they get here?
I mean, I think that if you, and we do, I try to always, if you can sort of live by a principle, if you can help others, invariably you're probably going to help yourself. And anybody that's come in here, our motive, my objective is how do I make them to be the best they can be? Monty Williams, Lloyd Pierce, Billy Lang, Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, Tobias Harris, pick them. Like, that's just how we see the world. And that grossly abused word culture has been achieved here. And none of us could deny that. You can challenge it on different fronts, but in general, this is a hell of a destination. People are treated well here. Forget my words. Listen to the players. And so for us to be able to retain, recruit, grow, empower, watch this program unfold, are you serious? This is incredibly exciting. You can't just kick that down the can. How many programs in the NBA can feel like we have a chance at annual success? It still is, I look in the rearview mirror, the thing that San Antonio should get the most credit for. They don't go away. And so here we are with a 22-year-old all-star and a 25-year-old all-star and people that want to be here, and Elton is going to do his job, and Josh and Blitz are so driven to providing the resources to win a championship. Look across the water. What, you know, to me it's like, what are we missing? We have everything that we need to move this program forward. And so your question about culture, we're proud of the fights that we've had to fight in order to do what we've done. And culture is a word that means something to me and means something to us. And I believe that we've delivered.
Brad, I'm over here to your right. When I sit here and I look at Twitter and Facebook and social media and listen to the radio, the most common complaints that I hear have to do with dribble handoffs. People are kind of sick of those. People wonder why Joel is sitting on the perimeter, you know, instead of, you know, quote, getting his butt down in the blocks, right? When Jimmy comes in, obviously you run more pick and roll. The offense changes a little bit. Tobias comes in. You start doing some different things. Has your offensive philosophy changed at all based on what you did this year and sort of the evolution of your coaching tenure moving forward now?
Yeah. And I know you know the answer. You're studied. I know you know the answer. That's cool. That's all right. I got it. And so I have given this explanation before, and I'm proud to give it again. We led most of the previous years the NBA in passing. That is a fact. I believed we had a team that was better moving a lot and freeing each other a lot. Dario and Cove weren't going to break people down off an isolation or in a pick and roll. And so we led the NBA in passing. Connected to that, we led the NBA in assist percentage or were always in the top two. I'm proud of sharing the ball. Since we've all met 6 years ago, I told you the pass is king. The pass is king. It's everything. Because it connects the dots to chemistry. You share. And then we get a team that has the ability, like Jimmy does, to be put in an isolation and go to work. Kawhi. Put him in a middle pick and roll. Go to work. Kawhi. So then it becomes a little more static, and where do you space and place? And so I take Ben and I put him where I would do it 100 times out of 100 times. And so the evolution of our offense grows based on who do you coach? Your question about Joel Embiid is directly connected to his health. 82 games, and I saw it with Duncan, you guys saw it, you've seen it with Shaq. 82 games rim to rim, it's unrealistic, it's hard to do.
And then you drip feed on, well, you know, pick a number, whatever his health was. Do you feel like we got a chance of beating Toronto if he's healthy? You all will answer that question. I have my answer. And full credit to Toronto. Nick Nurse, Kawhi Leonard, that program, much respect. A hard fist fight it was. And so, Joel, get to the block, get to the block, because you're 7'2". There is some truth to that. But he also happens to be skilled enough where at times he can actually make a trail three. Somewhere in the middle, the answer will be his health. The ability to go deeper, roll more. And, you know, he understands that. And so when you talk about, you know, pick and rolls, quantity versus the pass, I hope I answered it. When you talk about Joel Embiid, I hope I answered it. And offensively, that's how I see the world in any connection. The pass is everything.
Brett, we spoke to Jimmy yesterday. He obviously came here with quite a reputation, I guess you would say. And he said he thinks that you understood over time that he's just a different sort of guy. Like, he goes about it, his business in a certain way, but that you came to understand one another. How would you describe the evolution of your relationship with Jimmy this season?
Yeah. I believe what he said is true first. Somebody shared with me what he said, and I agree with him, and I appreciate his words. He is a different thinker for sure, and I say that with respect. We get he cares. We get he's highly competitive. We understand, I think, there is a connection to his spirit and physicality to that city that mirrors each other. The evolution of me doing a better job of learning how to use him and him learning how to use us and Joel and so on evolved to the point where it ended up in an incredible place. You know, the ecosystem of Ben, it's not your ball right now. You go down to the dunker, and Jimmy, it is your ball. And, you know, Tobias trying to figure out where he fits in, and Joel wants a touch, and JJ can make shots and so on. That's a hard environment to pull off. And to the players' credit, and Jimmy Butler being one of the significant contributors' credit, they did it. I'm in locker rooms, you're not. You may come into a timeout on national TV and see it, but I feel it. And we arrived at a place that was actually a team. They had each other's back. Listen to the players' words. And listen to mine, but really listen to theirs. And I give him a lot of credit for that. He emerged to be a leader. He emerged to be able to recognize Ben needs this, Joe needs this, as everybody else did. And it got, for me personally, to a stage where, you know, he and I evolved. I believe we arrived at a place that if we're, you know, able to coach together again, he's able to play for me, I'm able to coach him. I think you jump into this thing in a far advanced way, given the history, albeit brief, that we both have had with each other and, you know, use him more correctly, him understand me and the team more correctly right from the get-go.
Brett, I have a couple for you. What is the infrastructure to be set up around Joel? I mean, is it, you know, somebody who's going to help him with life skills, going to tuck him in at night, going to feed him breakfast in the morning? I mean, what are you going to set up around him that makes you confident he will arrive in September in the best shape?
We've done something that's very advanced, unique in the NBA in that, and this would be an interesting story for you all. When you look at our development program, it is so much deeper than you need a jump hook and, you know, here's a financial advisor and here's a dentist for your child. Player development is nowadays a holistic umbrella that everybody's going to have sort of like a team Joel to your question, Marcus. And this extends deeper than now the head coach. We've employed somebody to oversee like the compartmental areas that would equal how do you develop a person? And it's deeper than a jump hook or a jump shot. It's deeper than that. And it's our responsibility to take these young people and families that come into this city and help them navigate life in general. And they can choose to use it, and everybody has their own world they live in, and that's fine. To your question of what infrastructure do we place around Joel, I'm not going to get specific, but I will tell you that it'll be money. It'll be incredibly well thought out, and, you know, it will be sort of mirrored to the responsibilities that he has this summer, because through either seeing his family, we all get he's not from Philadelphia, or you know, with his partner who is from Brazil, or perhaps some things that he has to do with endorsements overseas. It's not like you just live in here. And so how we navigate that and give him the resources that he needs to arrive in September with the base that I'm telling you about, it'll be done. He will have the resources that he needs to pull that off.
And the second one is, you had, I think, all five starters did more than endorse you. They stumped for your return yesterday, maybe without the knowledge that you were going to return anyway. How does it make you feel? What they said and how they said it.
I mean, of course it makes me proud. I think the most important thing for me is that it validates, in, you know, perhaps a more defined way, that the program is on track. I feel incredibly responsible to Josh and Blitz and the Philadelphia 76ers logo uniform to be a gatekeeper. I said this when I first met you in 2013, and I don't see the world any differently. There'll be a time that I'm not here. And I hope that, you know, bells will be rung. Who's the bell ringer tonight? I hope that you're going to walk out and see 1,000 coaches at a Coach the Coaches clinic. I hope that you're going to see us in the community doing things that we should do. I hope we can leave something behind. And when I hear, to your question, how do you feel? Of course it makes me feel like I'm just doing my job. But I feel like we have been doing this for 6 years, or trying to do it. And when I hear, you know, the words that you're talking about, I just feel like it validates what we've been trying to do since I was employed.
Brett, with so many, you know, high-priced players that you're going to have, it's going to be important to develop some lower money players as well. First of all, your thoughts on Zaire Smith. Can he become a key rotation player? And can the draft, even at 24 and with all the second-round picks, can you get somebody there that you think, you know, can contribute? Yeah.
Elton will figure out with Josh and Blitz the money side of it all, and the strategy of how do we build this team. I've gone on record, and I'll say it again, I'd love to coach this team again. When we all look at the realities of, well, what does that mean with other positions, we get the monies that would have to be budgeted to achieve that. You're going to have to develop some youth. And so now let's go to Zaire. His story is amazing to me. To see him in a hospital bed for a month, to see him lose 35, maybe even 40 pounds, and him, I'm sure, wonder, like, what just happened in my first year in the NBA? Forget about the sport, just in general, to my health, and see him work his tail off and end up where he ended up. That's an amazing story. Do I think he can factor into next year? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And I say that for a few reasons. First, his perseverance and love of basketball is completely evident. The kid lives in a gym, one. Because of that, he's been able, with the help of Tyler Lashbrook, that I think is in the back, been able to improve the shot that people question. And that will be the thing that ultimately makes his package whole. I think that that is improving. We saw, in albeit brief glimpses in the playoffs, he's not gun-shy. He's not afraid of the stage. He's not afraid of the environment. He plays. He has that human characteristic, that personality trait that lets him not worry so much. How's my shot look? How's my shot look? If he's open, he's going to shoot it. And then third, there is an athleticism that allows him to play defense. If we need to do anything, we need to play defense in this city. In the NBA playoffs, we were either first or second with our playoff defense. I'm proud of that. We have to be that in the city of Philadelphia. And so with Zaire Smith, for those reasons that I just said, I think it's a huge summer for him. And he understands completely. What other job do you have in the world where you got 5 months, 4.5 months so-called off? This is the time people advance. This is the time, and I'm not talking just young players. This is a time where people have a chance to improve. Because of the rhythm beat of an NBA season drags you out. The current just drags you out. The summertime is where you set the table to have an improvement base that I believe he's going to have. I think he's going to have a great summer.
Personnel-wise, for the sake of the argument, assuming your starting five is back together, do you think this is a team that can be made whole just with one full offseason of roster planning, given the current personnel? You know, a legit defender behind Joel, maybe a two-way guard off the bench, you know, a mid-level exception guy, whatever. Or do you think there are, you know, fundamental puzzle pieces that need to be rearranged? I mean, do you think this can become a legit championship team capable of contending with the Warriors just on an offseason, you know, complimenting?
Yeah, I do. And I say I do quickly and confidently, because that is the bottom line when I sit with Elton and Josh and David Blitzer. Like, how do we get this done? It's not the topic never pivots. It never pivots. And so to answer it obviously specifically with what's that look like, who knows? But that is the objective. And we're now at a stage, which we were probably 3 months ago, where the rules have changed, the goals have changed, the clarity of why we're really all here has changed. And so now the words have to be matched up with the roster to be able to sell a legitimate story, tell a legitimate story, and I believe they will.
And then, kind of to follow up on that, you know, whether it's Jimmy or otherwise, I mean, you saw obviously the value of having a, you know, second ball handler next to Ben. And I know that Markel was the guy, I think, that was projected to that in that role for a long time. But seeing how Jimmy, you know, kind of thrived in that role, you know, whether he comes back or not, do you think that's something that this team needs? Kind of that two-way ball handler type who can...
Yeah, I do. You know, we saw that with the construction of 2 years ago team. You know, that wasn't Cubs' strength. That wasn't Dario's strength. And we need that. That's kind of our sport nowadays. How do you find people that can play off a live ball and create and make plays? And a really close second is, can they shoot? And yes is the short answer.
Brett, I think you had three guys on your staff move on to head coaching positions over the last year. What do you look for in assistant coaching candidates, presuming that that's something that you'll have to figure out this offseason?
Yeah, and so we do. We have, as many, I suppose, as two positions to fill in my eyes. And without getting into sort of the granular pieces of what those qualities need to look like. I know completely sort of the areas that they will be responsible for. Most of you know that I set my NBA staff up like an NFL program. It's very compartmentalized in regards to special teams and sort of, you know, pieces of our offense and pieces to our defense. And, you know, there are people that are responsible for big man coaches and perimeter people and so on. And so it's very NFL-ish, and it works for me to better organize it. And so as I search and try to find with Elton, like who's going to be on the bench, what are we going to do behind the bench, there are skills, there are sort of ways people, you know, see the world, are you offensive guy, are you defensive guy type thing that will factor into who we hire. And, you know, as time unfolds, I think in the next, month, we will be able to make who's going to be replacing Monty type thing as an example.
Brett, in terms of Ben Sommer and the jump shot again, I guess in terms of his summer plan, like some might question whether or not going back to his brother and doing that again when it didn't necessarily produce on-court results this year is the way to go. So I guess your thoughts on that. And whether his brother might be a little too close to him to maybe challenge him with the way he needs to be.
Yeah. I have known his brother since he was 4 years old. And he is a basketball coach, and he is a committed basketball coach. Is he too close to produce results? I don't think so. And in fact, I think that with the family, there is an insulation in a good way to call him out, to help him get into a gym. There's not any sort of head fakes or fear of choice of words to get in a gym and work. And to Ben's credit, that hasn't been pulling teeth. He has put in time. I think that if you looked at his free throw percentage from last year to this year, although it's not a significant jump, he has improved. And as I've said to all of you many times, I wished for more sort of human reasons that he experienced greater improvement, because I believed his work put in warranted that. So that's the free throw. As it relates to his shot, I have felt, and it hasn't maybe happened as quick as you wished, that the connection to a free throw could progress out to a shot, a 15-foot jump shot. That connection, that evolution in my coaching experiences, I've seen that, and we haven't seen it as much as I thought we were. Who he will be working with this summer is still being discussed. They do have lives outside of the Philadelphia 76ers that involve agents and people that they want to work with personally. His brother will continue to work with Ben. I believe he said that. And I endorse it. I think that it's a relationship that I don't see at all harmful. I think it's got a chance, in fact, to be very productive.
Hi, Brett. A couple of quick ones. As far as you're talking about the culture and what you guys have built over the last few years, when it comes to coaching stability and the fact that you will be back here, do you think that that plays into maybe Josh and Elton's idea of being able to retain guys like Jimmy and Tobias? That maybe players, if it's not those two, maybe others in free agency, they'll see the stability in coaching as a draw.
I hope so. And it's so much bigger than that. I hope it's a piece of that. But it really is so much bigger than that. It's this place, when you start understanding, and they come in here and you listen to our fans are amazing. It's part of the desire to try to get as high up the food chain as we can to play home court and playoffs as much as possible. So when you come, you say, well, what are the fans like? A++. Then you tell me, like, what about the city of Philadelphia? It's amazing. Close to New York, go back and forth. It's got a heartbeat. It's got a pulse. It's got a real sort of spirit. Then you walk through this beautiful facility that we have. And then you start going into the locker room and listening to the teammates that have been here for a while. And it's not words. Like, it, all over the place, the culture exists. The stability that I may represent, I hope it helps. I hope people like the style of play that we play. They feel like they're going to get better. I believe they do. And so with all those reasons, I think that we're an incredibly attractive destination for a free agent. I believe we're an incredibly attractive agent for a current player, because words don't really matter. They have lived with us. They see it. They feel it. And
you know, 2013, there we were.
All right, here he is, Brett Brown, with a scintillating news conference. He nailed it. He hit a home run. He said, I've been coaching for my job. I've been fired every 6 years I've been here, each year and every season. This is the nature of the job. This is the nature of Philadelphia. So Jace, we'll come back. We'll talk all about it. Just scintillating, riveting stuff from Brett Brown right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, I got to tell you about Window Nation, because it's graduation time, not just for schools, but time for your home to graduate. Up to new energy-efficient windows from Window Nation. And as a graduation gift, all window styles are 50% off. You choose bays, bows, double hung, wood, vinyl, any size, any color, all custom-made and all 50% off. Now, Window Nation's massive buying power, that's a diploma in deals. And they're going to pass the savings on to you. It gets even better. Make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 months. And if you call Window Nation this week, you can take 50% off every window, plus get free blinds with the purchase of a house of windows. New windows, they save energy, improve the look and value of your home. And now, 50% off with no down payment, no payments, and no interest for 12 months, plus the free blinds. So call Window Nation today for a free in-home estimate. And they can come out the next day and provide you a quote valid for a full year. The school year is about to end, and so is this deal. So make the call now. Call 866-90-NATION today or online at windownation.com. Again, 866-90-NATION, or visit windownation.com and tell them Jason sent you.
Gargano and Mertitus Middays.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Just tremendous, tremendous stuff by Brett Brown. Riveting, honest. The one thing about you always get from Brett is you get honesty.
Mm-hmm.
You get exactly how he's feeling. Man, when he went on that little diatribe, and he's talked about how, you know, look, I've been fired every year since I've been here. It's the nature of Philadelphia. It's the nature of the NBA.
Four straight years.
I'll be fired next year, and the talk will start early.
Yeah.
Like, you don't get more candid than that. Like, you don't.
He's not tone deaf. Smart guy. He knows what's being said.
I love the fact that he was that candid. You know, the whole thing with the Ben Simmons jump shot, right? He basically told you, yeah, I like, we all know that Ben needs to shoot the basketball. Like, I'm not a dope, right? We know that Ben Simmons needs to shoot. And that's part of the whole growing process of Ben Simmons. And when it comes to Joe under the block, as much as I'm screaming, get under the block, Joe, go low, Joe, go low, Joe, he basically told you two things. He doesn't have the tank to get low.
Mm.
Post to post. You can't. He was worried about the health. Now, there's got to be a time where he can go down low and need a bucket inside 2 minutes, and you don't have those three possessions. But, you know, I thought he was frank, honest, gave you how he felt. I respect that.
Yeah, I do too, because he doesn't put on airs. He's not up there giving you coach speak.
No.
He says what's in his head and what's in his heart. And the thing that he said about Ben, too, that I really liked, he said, you know, if we're sitting here at Ben Simmons at 26 and having this conversation, then it's obviously a problem. But the fact of the matter is he's a 22-year-old player. And there's a development curve. And there's guys that come out of 1 year of college or whatever it might be that come to the NBA and aren't finished products and aren't shooters. Giannis is a guy that we can point to and has now put that club in his bag, right? So can Ben develop it? I hope so. I hope so. For him to go to the next level as a player, he's going to need a 12 or 15 footer.
But here's the thing. When you remember I dug out those Giannis stats and I was showing Giannis.
Yep.
So one of the things you saw is that playing years, I'm not talking about because he missed his first year, playing years, between years 2 and 3. And I love for Andrew, maybe at some point you can make this an assignment because you're good for this. And by the way, since Andrew's here, don't forget, keep it right here, 6 o'clock tonight, the baseball show.
Has it got a name?
With Andrew Salchunas.
The Fanatic Baseball Show with Andrew Salchunas.
Well, you guys really dug into the creativity bag on that name.
Yeah, you should call like Scene Head.
Yeah, like around the head, around the bases, something.
Yeah, you know, the Scene Head, Chunas, the Scene Head. I love it. Anyway, I want you to go back and look at some of the pronounced stars in this league and what they did between years 2 and 3
mm-hmm.
on which they played. Because now, again, this is not scientific. This is just from memory. And I know from Giannis it's true. But between years 2 and 3, you see dramatic improvement from my experience in that league.
Yep.
So I'm expecting Ben to have a lot of growth during this year and next year.
Yeah, it'll be big. And look, Giannis, his shooting percentage his rookie year in the league was 41.4% field goal percentage. Last year it was 57.8%. You know, he improved as a shooter. Now, he takes the ball to the rim a lot, obviously. But he took three-pointers, 2.8 per game this year.
Yeah.
That wasn't a club he had in his bag when he first got into the league. It just wasn't.
Yeah.
And if you look at it, 6.8, 12.7, these are points, 16.9, 22.9, 27, 27.7.
Well,
that's the evolution of a player.
Right, it is. So I do expect him to grow immensely between this year and next year. That said, today's about Brett.
Yeah.
Right. Today really is a lot about Brett because, in his own words, he's a polarizing figure.
Yeah. Well, he said it. He's been fired every year. Tyrone retweeted it. Every single one of these years, people have me fired. It's Philadelphia. It's the job. It'll happen again next year early. I'm just fine with them not responding to the noise every time in regards to Joshua Harris and Elton Brand responding to it. All right, 610-632-0975. That is the number. It's a Brett Brown Day, and we're back after this on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.